Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It used to work. Don Dubuque, we're going to talk about coastal erosion. First, in terms of, because you're going to be on tomorrow, the Fish and Game, an outdoor show here, and you did the Fish and Game report yesterday. First of all, I know you're a guy that does a lot with charity, and I didn't see all of it. I just saw some of it. What was your piece about last night on Channel 4?
It's an organization called Hunters for the Hungry, whereby hunters are asked to share their game with the needy by donating it through processors who process it and bring it to the soup kitchen, St. Vincent de Paul Society, and those places where the needy can go get a free meal. And it provides some sorely needed protein. And they've also extended it to the fishermen now, where they're making fish donations so that they can have fish for them. And it's a win-win-win for everybody. The kitchens get some sorely needed product, and then the fishermen and the hunters get some satisfaction in knowing that they're helping their community.
So if somebody is listening right now and wants to get involved with that, how do they do it?
Best thing to do is go to Hunters4Hungry, and that'll take you to the website, show you all the programs they have on how you can donate your game and fish to the organization.
And do they want cleaned fish?
Yeah, okay. They do. And, you know, if you're a marina operator and you want to put a collection spot in there, and if you can, you know, keep it fresh until somebody can come down, they'll come down and pick it up from you. And, of course, hunters are encouraged to, and during September is the big push, where when it's called Clean Out Your Freezer Day, you're making room for the next season's game, and whatever you've got left over that's been processed and put away, they certainly welcome that.
And tomorrow, I'm guessing, with the weather, not a lot of outdoor activities?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty rough. We got everything open, deer, duck. Fishing's been pretty good, but boy, with that kind of weather coming in, I doubt there'll be many people out. But one very important thing we're going to talk about tomorrow, and people have been waiting for this for months now, is the speckled trout situation. We've got a problem with the numbers of speckled trout in Louisiana. The department yesterday at its commission meeting introduced some possible remedies. And from what I'm looking at, it looks like the cuts are going to be pretty deep. I don't know how people will be happy about that. It's not etched in stone whether it's going to be size limits, creel limits, or a combination thereof. But I have Jason Andrians, the biologist who is making the presentation. He'll be on at 8 o'clock because, you know, we got that Moore Outdoors show on HD radio,
right?
WWL FM 105.3 HD, or you can listen to it on the radio.com app and find out all about it and find out what's ahead for this coming year as far as reducing the amount of speckled trout we'll be able to keep.
Don, hang on. We're going to take the break a little bit earlier because I don't want to interrupt you as we start to talk about coastal erosion. A New York Times article yesterday, for those that didn't see it, and the Advocate carried a story on it saying that Grand Isle is a great place to visit because it's not going to be here much longer. I don't think that's an over-exaggeration. Don's very involved with this. We'll get his take when we come back right here on WWL. 920, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Don Dubuque, before we move on, people are texting me saying that the burger I was talking about was a Taco Tico. Remember I said about the Bell Burger? But
oh,
it's not.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
no,
a
no.
Place that was on Veterans Highway.
But Taco. No. If you Google it, there was a Taco Bell Burger. And you know how you on the internet you go from one thing to the other? Well, this story's about 2 days old. Taco Bell is going to pay its managers $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's something. I don't know how many hours you got to work. Let's talk about Grand Isle. New York Times saying that that's one of the places to visit this year because it may not be there much longer. Is that dramatic, overly dramatic, hyperbole? Are they exaggerating?
I don't think they're exaggerating. They may be talking about something happening a little sooner than later.
Yeah.
I think it's got a little bit more lifespan than that. But being a pragmatist, I've really got to tell you, the future does not look bright for the longevity of Grand Isle. I mean, we can continue to paste it and keep it together. You know, it's a series of dredging and pumping and then putting rock jetties. And it's been ongoing for a number of years. And as long as we can continue to do that, the money's there to do it, we will have something there. But with the sea rise projections that we're looking at, over time, I think Grand Isle will in fact become a thing of the past. And that really is sad because it's such a significant piece of Louisiana. It's our only inhabited barrier island. It's the closest thing that we have to the Mississippi, Alabama, Florida Gulf Coast beaches. Elmer's Island, which is adjacent to it, is a real treasure. You can actually go there and beachcomb and fish and crab and swim and sit on the sand there. And for that to go away is really tragic.
Has it been a case of one step forward, two steps back? Because every storm, whether it hits here or not, it erodes some of Grand Island in terms of rising sea level. Are you talking about overtopping, making it disappear, or erosion, or a combination?
I'm talking about a combination of sinking and sea level rising over the top of it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Grand Isle has fought the great fight. Mayor Commerdell has gone beyond and above to continue to keep that island in peace. But if you look at it historically, Grand Isle was much bigger than what it is now. There were actually plantations. There were some wooded areas. There were hotels on that island. And to look at what it is now, it's basically just a spit of land out in the Gulf of Mexico. And over time, I just don't think there's any way to continue to build it higher and higher to avoid the sea level rise.
And even if a storm does not hit, the waves and so forth from a storm that passes close by, that does a lot of damage too, does it not?
Right, and that's another one of the really important things about Grand Isle. It's a barrier island, and it is part of our coastal protection from storm surge. It knocks down a lot of storm that approaches from that direction. And without it there, it's going to overtop and just make things worse inland.
So are you saying it is hopeless with Grand Isle, that it is going to go?
We can continue to maintain Grand Isle for a number of years, but I think eventually in the end, and I mean, if you look at the Earth, it's dynamic. It changes. We've got remnants of cypress forests that are way out in the Gulf of Mexico now. I don't think we have the money or the technology to combat with Mother Nature. When she wants to take something to change things, she's going to do it. And I'm just hoping that we don't waste a lot of this money putting it into things that are hopeless cases where it could be used in a better method further inland to protect those things. We're already seeing that mindset right now. There are bodies of bays and names of places that have been removed from the maps. And I think the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority is starting to take more of an approach that, look, we're going to have to continue to sacrifice some areas to save others. And I think it's going to be an ongoing battle. That's the way things are going to be. It's going to be a constantly changing and evolving program. Some places are going to be lost. Some will be saved. And over time, who knows how many, where the actual sea will meet the shoreline of Louisiana.
Wow. Al Sinceri from PJ's Oysters called in. Hey, Al, you're on WWL with Don and me.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing today?
Well, thank you.
Yesterday was my last day as chairman of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. The whole coastal erosion thing is very, very close to my heart. I grew up, down in the bayou, and I've watched it wash away over my 41-year career in our family business. And, there's a lot of good things that can be done to help protect our shorelines, at least what we have right now. And there's certain things that we can do, but it's trying to get people's heads together to actually act on it. And that's been the problem for over 20 years.
What about specifically, Al, talking about Grand Isle? Do you agree with Don?
I don't believe there is. And I've talked to a lot of journalists and media people that have come down here for conferences. They've been brought down here to showcase what's going on, explain in detail. And all of them have the same reaction. I said, this is horrible. Can't believe this is going on. And I'll tell them, okay, you've seen our problem here. You've seen the possible solutions that have been brought forward. When you go back up to your state and your community and you write and you broadcast about this, are people going to take out their checkbooks and start sending money down here? And they said, no. What they're doing is they're saying, we feel sorry for you. We understand your plight, but we're not willing to put the money forward to save it. And I don't know if there's enough money to overcome it forever and keep it the way it is. We can prolong it. We can continue to fight it through a combination of diversions and pumping and rock jetties and those type of things. But to bring it back and then the money it takes to maintain it, because you don't just fix it and go away. It's going to be an ongoing process that has to be maintained daily, yearly, for years and years. And I don't think the country has the will. And there's also other problems, a very complicated issue. We've got controversies right here in the state about how much of it should be done by river diversions.
That's what I was going to get to next, Don, because yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, and that's why I wanted to have you on. You have some very strong feelings about this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that the main thing is to be honest with people and tell them what the residuals are going to be when you go forward with a project. And it's obvious that it will change our environment, it'll change the habitat, it'll change the status of our resources. A lot of oysters are going to be lost if we put in massive river diversions. Saltwater species like speckled trout, they're going to be dislocated. They're going to be put off. It's going to affect the crabbing. It's going to affect the shrimping. It's going to bring in a lot of these invasive species like hydrilla and salvinia and hyacinths because of a fresh marsh. We've seen problems with creating a freshwater marsh environment in a saltwater habitat. When a storm comes, it doesn't hold up. The saltwater kills it, and you're back at ground zero. We've also seen a lot of positive effects from river diversion. I've seen places where there is land now where it was not. But finding that right balance where the locals don't give up everything we enjoy now or most of it, but at the same time restore and rebuild and continue to maintain the coast, it takes an awful lot of money. And speaking of the money, I don't see it. It started off at a $50 billion price tag. Last I heard, it was $85 billion. We still are not even close to the 50, but yet we go ahead and planning these projects that we don't have the funding for. It's not a pretty picture.
You know, two things I hear. First of all, it's like a divorce where we're going to keep fighting between ourselves until it's all gone or unless the lawyer gets all the money, right? And the other part of it is that it's almost like, correct me, Don, painting a bridge where it's the old thing of, okay, you paint the bridge, and when you get to the end, it's time to go back to the front and start doing it again, where you get this amount of money and you do restore it. Well, guess what? You got to keep pouring money into it, correct?
Exactly.
Thank you, Don. Have you, one other thing on a personal note, when you are out in a boat and you come in, does it shock you when you see it now and what it was once was, and how quickly do you see changes, say in a month, a year, what have you?
It does. I haven't been to a place for a while, but it, you kind of get endured. If you go there frequently, you really don't notice it as much. But I'll go to some places that I haven't been in 10 or 15 years, and it is incredible, the losses, and it's very, very sad. And I think we're going to continue to see a lot more of that.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate your time. I knew you were the go-to guy on this.
Thank you, Tom.
And listen to Don tomorrow. No hunting or fishing. Weather's going to be too bad. 9:32. Back in a flash, talking to JR, getting some weekend winners on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.